mine went back to a Christmas show. It's called the How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Anybody familiar with that? And the Grinch came after the people in the town and took away everything that brought him joy, he thought. Stripped him of everything. And the next morning he was expecting to get up and hear the townspeople just crying and boo-hooing and stuff. And when he woke up, he heard the townspeople worshiping and singing and uplifting. Wow. It reminds of ourselves today, right now during praise and worship. I mean, with all the stuff going on in the world, the enemy is trying to squash us. He's trying to defeat us. He's trying to bring depression upon us. And here we are, lifting our voices to the Lord, praising Him, because He's worthy to be praised, and lift up the name of Jesus. And that confuses your enemy. Wait, what can I do next? How can I destroy these people? And I tell you, he cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus. He cannot. As God was saying, as Ryan brought forth, remind me of Ephesians 6, verse 12. I'll share it with you here. You don't have to turn there. But he reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our enemy. That is our enemy, but he's using people as his pawns. Okay? Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wow. That's how we fight our battles.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes we get off course at times. And I think we're all kind of guilty sometimes of jumping back into the flesh and fighting strictly just in the flesh and not fighting in the Spirit. Now this weekend we've been looking back, our country has, at 9/11. It was 20 years ago that the attack took place at the towers. And well, I look back at it, and me and God had quite a few conversations about it. And I shared some things Friday night. But I remember going back to that day when it took place, how America just raised up. We recognized we had an enemy in our country. I mean, we come together. I remember the next day, I think it was, we had our congressmen, and we had everyone on the steps of the White House or on the Capitol building. They were worshiping God and speaking out scriptures. The churches were packed. I mean, Carol, I think he was teaching a school at that time, Christian school, and I forget the pastor up there, but he opened his church up. I mean, everybody was just coming, and people was driving around. They had flags hanging out the windows and all kind of stuff, just like, hey, you can't do this to us. And we located the enemy, and we went over and started taking on the enemy. But as time went on, I believe we got to the point that our enemy was across the ocean, and we got lax again here in America. And as time went on, we find ourselves getting real lax, turning back to the way that we were as a nation. And then the devil, he's never done. So he starts pushing, and we get this racism going and this kind of stuff going in our country. Then we have a person running for president, and they say, well, if you don't vote for him, you're racist, because he's not white, he's black, okay? And so he gets placed in office. And this is not a political thing, so don't throw anything at me. Jesus says, look for the fruit. Amen? So the second term, we realize we have a Muslim in the White House. Okay? I mean, I'm not speaking against him. I'm looking at his lifestyle. Okay? Kicks Christians off the National Day of Prayer, brings Muslims in to worship on the same place we were at several years earlier, praising God and turning our faces back to Him. And what we have to do, folks, we have to recognize it's not a sin to speak the truth out. Okay? Now, I know we're being taught today that you can't say anything that's not politically correct, but that's killing our country. Okay? Again, I'm not putting him down. My message today isn't about him, but we recognize that, man, we're starting to lose our Christian values. And it started waking the church up. It started waking up the lion of the tribe of Judah. Like, wait, what's going on here now? This is enough. We realize that the same enemy that attacked us, somehow, we put him in charge of our country. The enemy, again, it's not the flesh and blood. We're talking about the spirit that's controlling him. It's very, very easy to witness that. And the church started coming alive, man. We were waking up like, wow, this is our values, this is our nation, we built upon God, and now we're working. How did our enemy get in such control of us? So we gathered around. Man, this is awesome. Look what took place. We started crying out to God. God, send us somebody. We need delivered from this. And then God starts raising up a Moses. That none of us recognized right off the beginning, did we? Most of us. His name is going to be Trump. But look what he did. This is, we, in the middle of the night, the votes of the church crying out to God, we could easily recognize good and evil. We could recognize what platform God was for and what platform the devil was pushing, okay? Our eyes became open. Many of us, man, it's like, wow, I can't believe this. And through our desire for God in this country, we, the church, placed a man in office that would walk the right for life. Now, we put a man in office also that would say, okay, listen, I believe God is correct and marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. And then he put, we moved our embassy over in Jerusalem. He did all these things, okay? And it was awesome steps. Awesome steps that we were doing, crying out to God. I'll tell you how awesome it is. I'll tell you how awesome you guys were. Man, this last election, this is the most votes ever gathered by a sitting president. Folks, you can believe what you want, but our president, Trump, that God was using, beat his opponent by at least 14 million votes. Our country was turning back to God so great that the only way the devil, which Taliban, John 10:10, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He had to steal the election. He had to lie and cheat in order to rip it out of the hands of God's people. That's how awesome this nation is. 20 years later, man, we have turned back to God. We're crying out to God, and God hears our cries. And he ain't done yet. You know, no matter what takes place here, the church is alive and awakening. And like I shared earlier, man, we have revival breaking out. Like people are waking up, recognizing the enemy, repenting from our God. I'm so sorry. I'm so naive. I'm sorry I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit guide me. And God said, yes, come on. Man, look how far we've come. So when you see these things taking place today, that shows you how much you are doing. And when you see the enemy raised up like this, and our enemy doesn't even hide himself anymore. He used to be all behind the curtain. Remember the Wizard of Oz, the wizard? Don't look behind the curtain, okay? Well, this enemy has ripped the curtain open, standing like this. That's how arrogant it is. And look what he's doing. He is scared. He is running scared because of the power of God that lives in each one of you. Through your prayers, your fasting, your interceding, and standing up and speaking the truth out of what? The moccasin, I call them, of peace. Or what do they call the shoe? The shoes? It was not mocking. Well, I just... whatever Ephesians calls your shoes, okay? Gospel of peace, okay. Shod. Right, okay, shod. Well, we don't wear horseshoes anymore, but yeah, I got you. No, you got me there. But we do out of peace with God. Understand that. This is how much we're doing. So when you see this stuff taking place, and man, we're really ruffling somebody's feathers, God is marching on. His truth is delivering people. And you know how many people's eyes are getting open today to the truth of the Lord? And it's coming from here, from the left over to the right? Amen? I mean, they are getting born again. Revival to break out, and the devil hates it. So every time you hear something, they're like, man, I can't believe that's going on. Say, yes, Lord. We are marching on. The devil don't like it. Because God's people woke up. It's amazing. And it's all based upon truth. Amen? The truth is the truth. We should never be ashamed of the truth. We share that truth. And we love people, so we share the truth. Now sometimes that truth is going to be awkward for people. But the truth is the truth. I ask you this. This is share part of the truth here. How do you get to heaven? How do you get to God? How do you get your prayers answered? Jesus. In your Bible, we don't have to turn there, but John 14:6, the Master tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Otherwise, no one will make it to heaven without me. Your prayers won't make it to heaven, to the Father. It's through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, is that the truth? That is the truth. Well, there's a big contradiction out there now. It's getting larger and larger. And I believe it's going to develop into this one world religion. And that comes from the Vatican. It comes from the Pope himself. When the Pope has stated, Allah, Islam, we all worship the same God. It's just different paths that we get there. Now my question is that what your Bible say? What your Bible say? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And explain to you, Islam is the religion of Allah, okay? And Muslim is those who follow Him. It's like Jesus is the son of our belief. And we are called Christians that we follow Him. Amen? Okay. So, if you take that and you look at it and you think, okay, if this is the truth, and someone is trying to get to heaven, get the Lord without Jesus, then we know, boy, they're on the wrong path, right? So out of love, we share that with them. Amen? Amen. Now, that is coming from the Pope. But I'm telling you, there's plenty of people in the Catholic Church getting born again. See, again, the devil can use people to push it so far that your eyes get open. And you think, oh, wow. Wait, this is going too far now. It's gone. And so they get back into the Word of God. And it shows them right there what it says in John 14:6. So people are coming out of it into the presence of God. But by sharing the truth. And I know sometimes it might be difficult to speak to someone who has the wrong view of what the Scripture says. But out of love, we do our best to share that, right? He wants us to do that. You know, kind of remind me of yesterday. I had to go, I'm retired from law enforcement, but I still go once a year. And I have to qualify to carry my weapon, concealed carry. It's a lot different course. I got to shoot 8 rounds, okay, instead of all the other ones. Thank God for that. But what I was thinking of this morning was the fellow who is a range officer now, I hired him years ago, okay? And that's been probably 30 years ago. I mean, if it wasn't for my input, he wouldn't have a job. So when I show up out there, here I am. I mean, everyone knows me just because I'm an old man from the department, okay? But listen to this. He has one responsibility. And it's a great responsibility. Even though we were friends, we have allegiance to one another, he owes it to me and to the public to be honest and truthful in what he's doing. See, I have to take my weapon and fire it. Right hand, left hand, back up, shoot. Thank God there's no more running and jumping and that kind of stuff. But he is checking me to make sure when I fire my weapon, I can still hit the target. And at the same time, I can listen to his commands. Okay, Lieutenant, back up. Stop. Fire 2 rounds. Boom, boom. Switch hands. Boom, boom. Okay, so he's checking my accuracy. And folks, he owes it to me and to everybody. If that ever happens, and I fire my weapon and the guys behind me are ducking, he owes it to me and to everyone else to pull my commission completely. Now, you know how devastating it's going to be to me if that would ever happen? But you know how thankful I'll be also? And that's love, you know, and I expect him to do that. And that's part of it. And so the Lord expects us the same way. Now, no doubt he would use diplomacy when he's talking to me about it. Oh, hey, are those your glasses you're wearing? Okay. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. I mean, but he would have to do it. So he wouldn't be say, hey, old man, you're too old, you're washed up, get out of here. He would never say that. But he has to bring it around to me. And that's what we do when we share the gospel with people. Because I don't know if you've ever been raised, maybe believing one thing about the Lord, and the person who taught you was taught that, and they were taught, and they really don't know the difference. And then when we open the Bible and we look at the scriptures, and we see, wow, oh my. You know, we don't get mad at them. But we want to show, hey, look why this saw this. You kind of like Martin Luther. You know, when back in the 1500s, I think it was, when he read the Bible, and he realized 95 things that the church was doing that wasn't what God said to do, he got excited. Looky, man. And what they want to do, they want to kill him. Okay? Not all of them. Some of them come around. But that's where we're at today, the rejoicing that, man, the devil, I mean, he don't even hide himself anymore. He's throwing his cards right out in front of us. And you guys are recognizing it. Why? Because the light of Christ in you. And you say, oh, man, look at the devil. We're doing something right. You know, we're doing something right. You know, if you've ever been in high school getting a fight, most people never get punched in the face unless you're screaming at somebody. You know? Hey, you punk, or whatever you want to say. You get things stirred up. You're doing something to cause that. And so this thing we're seeing going on in our nation and around the world today is because of Christians. The line of the tribe of Judah has woken up his people. And man, we are roaring for God. Afghanistan, yes, devastating. But look how far some of them Christians now are out of the comfort zone. There are other parts of the world sharing the gospel. You know, people are, you know, you can be good-hearted and still not know Jesus. And some of them are receiving some of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's just a humane thing to do. I know a lot of good people that have morals, but they don't know Jesus. So yes, you can come on in our nation. And that, what they just did, they just planted the gospel right here. And so, man, a Christian is going to bloom where she's planted, or he's planted, amen? And so they're going to start sharing the gospel. Man, look what Jesus did. And so, again, what the devil had meant for terrible stuff, God will use that. And we are about the kingdom of heaven, amen, expanding that. Because we know this world won't last forever and ever. We understand the scripture, but why we're here, man, that we just continue on. And look at all this negative stuff is really a positive thing because it's because the voice of God's people is raising up. Amen. It's awesome. How things will turn out with the election stuff like that, I know what I believe, I know what I've heard, but the thing of it is, the main thing is that the gospel. I mean, whoever thought last year they'd have a revival in New York? I mean, we thought maybe a Satan gathering, maybe of some sort. And was it D.C. or I can't say his name right? Sean Foyt. If you guys remember the one that God used a year and a half ago to start us off, this long haired dude. I mean, he's an awesome guy. He loves Jesus. He's in D.C. worshiping the Lord and having a revival taking place. Man, and he's going to be in on again tonight. Yes, yes. So what God led me to again for scripture today for us, and again, because he wants his people to be in peace. Warriors, but in peace. And with scripture is Philippians chapter 4. I shared that Friday night. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. I know sometimes we wake up and we listen to radio or whatever and we don't hear any bad news and it really gives a peaceful day. But God wants us to have that peaceful day, even if you hear the worst thing that ever you imagine take place. He wants that peace to rest in you because knowing that you're reconciled with Him, that you're doing exactly what He's called you to do. Think of that. Think of that, Cindy. What He's called you to do. And man, and when you meet that, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do the rest of it, but I just trust in you. Yeah. I do the same thing. I'm called to be Starkey. I wasn't called to be Jason, okay? And I do what God's called me, and I have that peace. And Jason is the same way, every one of us. We do what he's called us to do. Now, we all don't have the same calling, otherwise it would be 50 of us down there at Royal King passing out popcorn, talking about Jesus. No, you know? With no butter, yeah. But see, that's an avenue that you're good at. Highly recommend to be at Royal King. And you're planted right there. Yes, amen. But right now, right. The Lord might move you somewhere else later on, you know. But wherever you're planted, the Master has lived through you. But in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, it says, finally, brothers, this is Brother Paul speaking, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Constantly meditate on these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Brother Paul says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And the reason he says practice these things, because Paul was following the Master also, amen? And he's teaching new people, us, and we never walked like Paul did before he was born again. He was in, you know, he was a Pharisee, but we all walked from somewhere, right? And look what Paul went through. You just follow me. I'm not sure of Jesus, but just follow me as you learn about the Master. And then as you guys grow and I grow, then we say, hey, I'm not sure what to do, but just follow me as I follow Jesus. Let me teach you. And as that person learns, then they say, okay, follow me as I follow Jesus and let me teach you. And that's how the body of Christ grows, okay? All from the Word. But he says, yeah, I want you to think about these things. And part of that in there talks about true, whatever is true. And we find a definition of true, or I find true spoken of in Proverbs 12:19. And it says in Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips will endure forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Truthful lips. As we speak the truth, we live forever, guys. The ones, the lying tongue out there right now, the ones who are deceiving people, that's only for a moment. Understand, we think, well, how much longer can this go on? They're going to have their day of reckoning unless they come to know the Master. But are you speaking the truth? And that's just truth in everything. There's no, what more can the Lord ask you to do? And now that you did, I spoke the truth. I shared the truth at wherever you're at, and everybody left me. Okay, but you shared that truth. Knowing that when you shared that truth, you planted a seed, amen? And even though they left you, they carried that seed with them. I'm telling you, once the Word of God's spoken, it gets in here. It might not be rooted yet, but I'm telling you what, they can't cast it out. Think of that. How many people have you shared with? Has laughed at you, turned away from you. How many times put your hand to somebody a Bible tract and they say, ah, they're sticking their purse or whatever, you know. But they got it. Didn't you do what the Master asked you to do, Penny? And trust God to do that. But that brings us that peace. Concentrate on this. Oh, Lord, thank you. I had the opportunity last night, I shared the gospel. I told someone about Jesus. I thank you for that. Don't dwell on that, what they cussed you out, whatever they might have done. But you had the opportunity to share the King of Kings with somebody. Ephesians 4:25 is another one reminded about the truth. Again, this scripture and stuff, he doesn't want us to let fear come upon ourselves. He doesn't want us to back down. He wants you to be encouraged. It's what you've been doing so far that's got the devil running. Amen? He exposed his hand. Now, can you imagine playing, I think it's called Texas Hold'em. I see it on TV once in a while. Couldn't you imagine playing Texas Hold'em with me, and you're betting against me, and I got my card backwards? You would probably like that, would you not?
Well, that's not you,
I mean, you would know whether or not to bet against me or not. You would see my hand, and you would respond like that. That's what the devil's doing right now. His cards is open. I mean, he's not even hiding them. He's got them wide open, and you're seeing what he's doing. And what you're doing, Scripture is coming back to your mind. The spoken word of God, and you're praying that Scripture, you're speaking that Scripture out. And man, I'm telling you, you're firing the weapon that God has given you. That's the sword of the Spirit and the Word. Man, you're doing it. Praise God. We don't have to sit back and wonder what the devil's going to do next. We're watching him. I mean, and it's his arrogant again. It's his pride that's wearing up in the, coming up in the people that he's using. They've been, some of them been lied to, and they're not sure what they're doing. They're just following the herd right now. Other ones may have been sold out years ago, and unfortunately, their day of reckoning will be coming. But truth, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Amen. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, ridding yourselves of falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, because we are all parts of one another." Otherwise, whoever's around you, speak the truth. I mean, I don't believe the Scripture is trying to tell you to run home tonight and go around to all your neighbors. But I think what he's saying is when you're in contact with someone and that opportunity comes, to speak the truth. And it don't have to be a 30-minute sermon. We know that. But just speaking the truth. Oh, you know, I believe, you know, that everybody gets to heaven. Somebody might say, "Oh, I know. A lot of people believe that." But John 14:6, it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, but we're all God's children. Well, but John 1:11-12 says we become a child of God when we receive Jesus Christ. Just give me a little bit of food to think about, you know. I'll do that sometime on Facebook. So when I have a comment, I'll just type the Scripture. I won't type it out. I'll just put the book, chapter, and verse and let them look for themselves. Just give them food for thought. I found out one thing. You can't really argue with people on Facebook. But if you just give them food for thought, give them a Scripture, and they can look at it and let the Holy Spirit speak to them, you know. Because if you type it, I mean, let the Lord lead you. But sometimes when you type out your big response, all you got is like 80 different trying to destroy you. And the person that you're trying to get that to might look at all the other responses before they get down to yours, you know. And so, but if you do it, just the Scripture itself, most people won't look it up, except those who are really interested, you know. But speaking truth to your neighbor. And it says to be honorable, things that are honorable. And we find that in Leviticus 19:36. Again, this is, he says, "I want you to concentrate on these things." That you can look back at this stuff and say, "Well, that's, yeah, wow, I speak the truth and I share it when I can." Isn't that what God has asked? Well, that brings the peace. No matter what the world, no matter how bad the devil has shown his hands, you're doing exactly what the Lord's called you to do. But Leviticus 19:36, and Leviticus is in the Old Testament. We don't go there too often. But it says, verse 36, "You shall have accurate balances, accurate weights, and accurate ephah," which is money, "and accurate hin." So I am, it's trade stuff. So today you'll have accurate balances on your measurements. If you're selling stuff in the store, your thumb won't be on the scale. Okay. If you're giving change back, you'll get the right change. I believe also if you're giving the wrong change back, a bonus, it's not God blessing you. I believe you need to say, "Hey, wait, you gave me too much money back." Okay. He says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt." And so, honorable, he wants us to do everything without cheating and deceiving. I'll put it that way, what they're trying to say here. Again, when you know, you're not cheating nobody. You're being honest with me. You're selling me a car. And this car is such a lemon, I could take it to the fair and make a lot of money by lemonade, okay? You tell me up front, hey, listen, this thing, it's on the last leg. I had to almost push it down here. Be up front. Now I can decide whether, oh, okay, well, I'll give you $200 for it. That way, when you lay your head down at nighttime, you have that peace. But if we try to cheat people, when this guy sold me his car with a lemon, I'm going to pass it on to somebody, then you're going to be miserable because God won't let you rest because you just, that's wrong to do that. To be honest in everything we do and not try to cheat. I won't say not try to cheat. Don't cheat. Because you can't. Well, I didn't mean to cheat him. No, you can make a mistake. But cheating is wrong. And so we go back to lying. And we have a lot of ways to lie nowadays. You can lie on application. You can lie for funding. You can lie about all kind of stuff. And again, He wants us to concentrate on the honorable, so He wants us to live a life that represents Him and not lie, cheat, steal, and but honorable. And then in Deuteronomy 25:15, it says just about the same thing. It reestablishes, you shall have a correct and honest weight. You shall have a correct and honest measure, so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given you. So as we do things honestly, it's not just a good thing to do, but also prolongs our life. Now, it says, you shall have a correct and honest weight. And you got to understand that I first read this, I took the scales into my wife. I said, come on, get on here. And I realized, wait, that wasn't what he's talking about. Okay? But yeah, he goes back to honest and not cheating people. And I'm telling you, I hear a lot of you guys' testimony where people have either gave you too much change back or something went wrong and you went in and told them. And there's like amazed that people nowadays will bring that back to them. But see, what a statement it is. I mean, you might have got $2 extra in your change and that $2 would be, man, that's, get you a hamburger. But how much more glory did that bring to God when you took it back in and said, hey, I know your drawer's going to be short. There's $2 more that you shouldn't have gave me. Man, that's worth 100 pounds of beef, if I can put it that way. Bringing God's glory. And a heart that wants to be. I get excited when someone messes me up like that. Because I get to go back and say, hey, listen, hey, you gave me too much. Okay? I've been out of the store before. You know, you buy a lot of stuff here for the church. You're buying a volume a lot of time, maybe 10 packs of this or this. And a lady be talking to me or whatever. And next thing I get out there and check my receipt. And they didn't charge me for the two of them. So you go back in and say, ma'am, I just bought this. Yeah? They're ready for you to say, you charged me too much. I said, well, I got 10. You only charged me for 8. Oh. Well, thank you. Okay. Now, you might leave there and think, well, that's the dumbest guy I ever met. I mean, he came back in for $2, you know. But I brought God's glory. And then it allows me to have favor in God's eyes, you know. Amen. Mm. And then Romans 12:17. Again, it's a very familiar one we shared last week also. It says, never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. And again, I keep going back to Brother Paul when he was shipwrecked and all the stuff that he did. Man, look at the lies that got turned to God because he would not return evil to evil. And many of us today, we might have a lot of good, legitimate reasons in our minds to do evil. But we have to remember that all we do is to bring God glory. And He sees what we're going through. And when we are kind to our enemy, when we offer that olive branch, when they're expecting us to slap in 2 ways from Sunday, and we don't do that, wow, it makes them think. Amen? It makes them think, well, I got a double. Did anybody open up Romans 12:17? Did I correctly pronounce? Okay. Now, would you turn over to Romans 13:7 for me? And would you read it for me? Because I have my scripture for 13:7 the same as Romans 12:17. Okay. Here. Yeah, I've
Romans 13:7 says, pay to all what's due them. tax to whom tax is due, custom to who custom, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor.
Amen. Amen. And that's the fun part, paying taxes. Amen. I mean, how many of you called the auditor up and said, hey, can I pay you more tax? No. They're closed today. Okay. But again, I mean, I know taxes aren't a very popular subject. I enjoy paying taxes. Because I enjoy driving on paved roads. I thank God for my fire department, my EMS, my sheriff's department. I thank God for my military. So I don't mind paying taxes. Don't get me wrong. I pay them, but I want to make sure I put people overseeing my taxes that are going to use them in a godly way. Amen? Amen. And so we pay taxes, but it doesn't stop us from saying, no, I want this person, I'm going to vote for this person because I like the way they think. Okay, so we can still decide who's going to oversee this. But he's saying, okay, basically, as far as we're concerned, that we will live at peace with all people and do what we're charged with. Where we live in America, if we don't like the taxes, then we can vote against them, can we not? If there's a tax out there that's using for something wrong, we can vote against it, right? I mean, here in Coshocton, we're getting ready to vote on a sales tax. They want to build a new justice center, okay? And that's been trying since 1994, I can tell you about experience. But they want to do a sales tax this time because everyone who passed through Coshocton will help pay for safety and security, okay? It won't be taxed on food and something else. It's gasoline. There won't be gas on it. Tax on that. But they try to find out the fairest way to help promote security in the city or in the county. And everyone had the opportunity in November, I believe, this year to vote whether you think that's going to be a good tax to have or not a good tax. Okay? I mean, that's what we govern ourselves. So there's nothing wrong with getting involved with those issues. But he wants us to do them in a way that still bring God's honor. I can disagree with you, Pat, but I can do it in an honorable way. I can do it in a way that my heart is correct. Disagree with him, we still be friends, you know? Amen. As long as you think the way I do, we'll be friends, okay? And then, pure. Concentrating on what is pure. And if I go to Psalms 24, 1 and 6... Again, this is for us to concentrate on that just bring peace to us. And I hope maybe when you look back on these scriptures from time to time, will help you do that. What I love about it says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all those who live in it. So everything that you can see belongs to God. And we get so upset when something is done against what we own or what we have that we can't see straight at times. But whatever you have belongs to God. Amen? Someone stole from you? They stole from God. I'm not speaking against justice. Understand? Amen. Understand? I like justice because justice can bring repentance and can turn us all around. Okay, but everything belongs to God. What I have today is God. When I leave this world, He's getting it all back. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it might be. So thinking that, man, God, these are your trees out there. How many people grow flowers, vegetables? You're going out there, Kenny, and you take care of God's flower. You feed them coons out there, Levita? Those belong to God. And the cats. Hey, since you said that, anybody got cats you don't want, Kenny Levita takes every one of them. Just dump them off there and stuff. But think of any the smallest thing that you might do. You sit out at nighttime and watch the moon last night, the sun. That all belongs to God. That's awesome. I mean, it has a way of bringing a peace over you. But nothing else can. And I truly believe why you find peace outside, why you find peace in the garden or in the woods, is because when God first made man, He put us in charge of the garden. And that has always been part of us. Wow. A lot of people tell me, well, I feel the closest to God when I'm outside. Well, man, I mean, that's why He first had us, you know? And look at all His creation. I mean, you can't see a butterfly land on a flower up in a smile on your face, you know? Even bees. I get the point anymore, I won't kill bees unless I have to. But otherwise, I'm going to open my doors up lately and get them outside. And Carol's mama, we used to go up and pick up a wasp by the wings and take it outside. Now, to me, that's crazy. But, I mean, yeah. But I'll be down there and I'll take my hat off and try to get it outside. And sometimes I get stuck in my hat and try to get them out there and stuff. But I try not to do any harm to it. But if one comes at me, like right now, I'd probably swat it down. I'd knock it over and send it or somebody, get away from myself, you know. Flies. Well, sometimes if doing the backstroke of my soup, I might get rid of them, you know, but I figure. Verse 2 of that chapter 24 says, "For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit, and has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, even Jacob." Who can stand in the presence of God around them? One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit, and has not sworn deceitfully. Now, He's not saying those who are perfect. Please understand that. You have a pure heart because of the blood of Jesus, okay? And you have a desire to please Him. Think of that. And again, I shared this before. Look how far you've come since you met the Master. Since you got born again. Wow. You have a desire to be like that. And I keep going back to King David. I mean, most people think of King David, and they think, man, what an awesome man. He's a great, great leader. And he was, amen? But we look at his life and look what God has forgiven him from. You know, adultery, murder, okay? But then today, we take that same scenario and place it on somebody in authority, and they say, well, God's forgiven me. Oh, boy, he's lying. See, we don't apply the same thing. God can forgive you and me of anything we've done. Anything that we've done. And when He has done that, then we need to go on. We need to forgive one another. Amen? Yes, yes. He wants us to forgive, be forgiven. And sometimes it's crying out to God, God, help me forgive this person. Help me, God, I want to. And I truly believe when your heart is, God, help me, I want to forgive Him, I just find a hard time, that is in your favor. That is God saying, okay, I'm going to help you, I'll help you. When we say, I don't care what you say, God, I will never forgive this person. Well, you can say that out of anger, and but I truly believe you have something you have a hard time forgiving somebody for. Just cry out, God, God, I want to be like You. I want to do what You want me to do. But I can't forgive them, but I need You to help me forgive them. And He will. He'll come into your life and help you do that. It's not, again, not saying that you forget, or not saying that whatever it was that you're going to, like, they're going to come back into your life, understand. But that's what God wants us to do. And again, if you have the opportunity to tell that person, hey, listen, I don't agree, I never agree, but I forgive you. I hold nothing against you. That will like put a heaping coals on them. Like, man, how can they forgive me? I mean, if they're looking in the mirror and truly seeing themselves, how can they forgive me what I did to them? And then that way, they're going to start thinking in their hearts and seek forgiveness and come to the Lord. Amen? And the last one is Matthew 5:8. again, encouragement as we walk with the Lord and we concentrate on these things. Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And everything I share with you this morning is everything is possible because of Jesus in our life. Amen? Outside of Jesus, we cannot obtain anything. But with Christ in our life, He'll help us. And when we concentrate on these things, it's how I do. I want to be a great witness for you. I want your peace. And you look at these things, yeah. And you realize all these things that you're already doing. Concentrate on that. Don't let the devil get in your mind and try to tell you everything you're not doing. Because what you're not doing, God hasn't called you to do. I'm assuming that. You know whether you have or not. You do something for the Lord today, and the devil says, yeah, you did that, but look what this person did over here. And you go, oh man, I got to do more. No. Find peace with yourself, peace with the Lord, by just doing what He's called you to do. And then concentrate on these things. And when tomorrow morning, if you get up and you see something devastating taking place, say, wow, man, I tell you what, the truth is still marching on. And you continue to pray, speak God's word out, and let God take it from there. God's got a plan, understand, and you're part of that plan. Do as He leads you to do, and let God do the rest. You know, if Ryan was a general today, or a colonel, whatever, I don't know how it goes, and he came out and gave each one of us an assignment to do this week. Here, Starkey, I want you to do this. Come on. Well, in the middle of the week, we might say, oh man, what's going on? Who's taking care of this over here? We got to trust in our leader that he's got it all figured out. And we get back here next Sunday and we say, man, what a great week. I thought Wednesday we were going to lose things, but here Joe stepped up. Here, God put this on Joe's heart. He said, yeah, I bought losses too, but Fernando, he stood up and did this. And we realize that God's plan has taken place. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that brings me peace. If my job today, Ryan would say, well, I want you to pick up Dan and drop him off at the airport. That's what we're going to do all week. I go to the airport, drop Dan off. I've done what he's done. I've done what you called me to do. I have a peace in that. It might be someone at the other end to pick Dan up and take him to the hotel where he's flying to. You know, probably Bahamas. I don't know. But knowing that we've done our part by honoring Christ in our life and what we speak and what we say, what we do. And let God take it from there. Amen? Amen. Keep looking up, guys. I mean, it's getting better all the time, I'm telling you what. Kingdom of God come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement, Lord. Thank you for lifting burden from our shoulders. Thank you for exposing the lies of the devil and also exposing his hand, that we almost see what his next move will be, and next move and next move. We thank you for the word you've given us, that powerful word, spoken word, Father, that we are in this battle, and we're in this battle to win it. Father, that more and more souls will be won to you. So Lord, continue to strengthen us. May we continue to encourage one another in this assembly. May we continue to lift up the name of Yeshua, Yahweh, Jehovah. And God, that we will continue to shine your light, exposing more of the enemy to be defeated, and more folks will come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And God, in your word, we know that you acknowledge that your word was sent to us to bring healing to us. Healing in our spirit, but also in our body. And we continue to declare that your word is true, that our body lines up with your word, and we declare today that anything in our bodies today has been deposited there not by you, we order it to be removed in the name of Jesus, no matter what name it has. No matter what infirmity's name it has, we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We continue to speak to our bodies and every good cell in our body to multiply, that we do have perfect blood pressure. We have perfect insulin. Our ears are perfect. Our sight is perfect. Our kidneys, our liver, every organ of our body, our lungs, they all belong to you, Father. And we declare complete healing in the name of Jesus. And may your hand continue and that word be spoken today. We intercede today for John Kimberly, Father. That cancer is massively removed, breathing restored to a body. He's raised up. You know, in the name of Jesus. And our sister Edie. Yes, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for her. God, for each one that's upon our heart now, we lift up, Father. We lift up in the name of Jesus Christ. We stand in intercessory, Father. We bring them before your throne today. And we declare healing for your glory, to bring God to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good.